Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got Melissa, Seth, and James here at 8:04 on the clock. We are joined right now by our good friend Paul Trombley one more time for 2022. Good morning, Paul.
Yeah, good morning to you guys.
How are you doing over there, Paul?
Doing well. How are things going there?
Doing good here. We just got done doing our year in review, and one of the things we were doing was being thankful that this year our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center rejoined us. We're so happy to have you guys back on the radio with us. We've long time worked with you guys and enjoy having us back together again. Thanks a lot for a great year, Paul.
Oh, yeah. Thanks to you guys, too. It's been a nice reunion, for sure.
Yeah.
Now give us the bad news, Paul. What's coming? Actually, it looks kind of interesting.
Let's out of the way now.
Yeah.
If you don't mind, Paul, real quick, I did notice something, and I was looking at the temperatures last night around midnight, and it was like 34. And I don't know the last time if I've ever seen this, especially this time of year. I'm going forward, and I'm looking, and what's the temperature right now? Well, it's 34. It's it's kind of weird for this time of year, or is it normal? You tell me, Paul.
Yeah, very much an oddity. Yeah, kind of starting to think the thermometer is broken or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's stuck.
Yeah, but it has been that consistent with these southerly winds, kind of keeping the warmer air building into our area and keeping us from really dropping at all overnight last night. It looks like we're still looking at just a little bit of a cool down here for the end of the week, but all in all, a pretty mild end to 2022. And still a pretty mild start to 2023 on the way here next week. Today's high is about 42, with more clouds in the area, maybe some peaks of sun. Also could see a couple light showers or drizzle later on today, mostly. 42 light showers, a few areas of drizzle tonight, and then down to 23 as we could see a couple snow showers late, maybe into Friday morning. Clouds into Friday, otherwise 31, 14 Friday night, 33 more clouds and sun Saturday. Still about 25 Saturday night, maybe isolated snow showers, but still pretty quiet. Or ending a New Year's Day, 36, some clouds Sunday. And then upper 30s Monday with a cloudy sky. Well, actually, the next system coming in Monday night, Tuesday right now, could be some rain, maybe some mixed precip even that Monday night, Tuesday time frame. Some highs in the 40s on Tuesday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Appreciate you, Paul. Wishing you a great New Year's. Enjoy, and we'll talk to you next year.
Hey, you bet. You guys too.
Take care.
All right.
Thank you, Paul. Best in the business right there.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate our friends over there. Melissa, Seth, and James here as we get you ready for this hour. We got Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club coming up right after this segment. After Melissa's news, you'll have Culver's Star of the Day featuring WFHR.
Mm-hmm.
All that coming up for you. Oh, I got a good one for you today, everybody.
Ooh.
Oh, the Star of the Day is a great one today.
Awesome.
Nice.
Yesterday, we had Katrina Hittner on, and a good morning to our friends at Family Natural Foods, everybody over there.
Mm-hmm.
And it got me thinking about this New York Times ball, the great ball that drops every year. Almost, pretty much anybody out there listening, this has been happening all of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, what do they do with that thing afterwards? Do they use it for bowling? Do they, you know... paint it and just put it on a subway and just hope that nobody notices.
You know? Hey, that looks a lot like the ball that they dropped.
Nothing to see here. Well, I go down this rabbit hole and I find some of the top secrets of the New Year's Eve ball drop in Times Square.
I like secrets.
It's that time of year again. So let's get into some of these. Like, there is a ball vault deep below one Times Square.
Really?
Wow. In the heart of the city, right below everybody bopping around and shopping and traveling and taking pictures and the naked cowboy and all that stuff, you got a vault. And a lot more, to be let's be honest,
yes.
A lot more under New York City.
There is.
The reason it got its name New York City, if you want to ever look into the history of the East Coast of America sometimes.
It's really interesting.
It is fascinating. It's so cool to see how where we started everything out east, and as we branched out more and more out west, how our states shaped more, how our roads came together more. Like, there's so many interesting parts of American history there. But this vault is where we put our focus. And while the current New Year's Eve ball hangs out at the top of One Times Square all year long, so now we have an answer to that.
There it is.
It sits there all year.
Okay.
The poor thing only gets used once a year. At the same time, it only has to work once a year.
That's so true.
I'm not going to feel too bad. Two old New Year's Eve balls sit in the building's basement in the ball vault.
Hmm.
And I just wanted to say ball vault.
Ball vault.
The Millennium Ball that was used from December 31st, 1999 to 2005, and the Centennial Ball used on the 2006, the 100th anniversary of the ball drop. So just used that one time.
Oh, wow. Okay.
They are stored 50 feet below the building, even beneath the subway tracks.
Oh, wow.
That's deep.
How far does it go underground in New York, man?
Really. Gee, really. You really got to wonder sometimes, yeah. Like the center of the earth or something like that. I found a New York Times article that talked about this from 2009 that they say the vault, New Year's Eve related items in the vault, such as silly looking hats from the 1976 and T-shirts from 1997. And another historical ball is stored at the Atlanta headquarters of Jamestown LP, the company that owns One Times Square.
Oh, wow. How about that?
Pretty interesting.
So they've been doing that for over 100 years. Wow, I didn't know it had gone back that far. Woo, that's cool.
Let's see here. There was another one I wanted to touch on. Yeah. The New York Times owner brought the party to Times Square.
Oh.
Used to be at the church, and then it became here.
Oh, wow.
You'd be surprised to know that the famous New York Times owner, Adolf Ochus, started the New Year's Eve tradition of dropping the ball in Times Square.
Okay.
The New York Times moved into One Times Square in 1903 when the surrounding neighborhood was known as Longacre Square.
Okay.
It was renamed Times Square in honor of the company's big move in 1904.
Well, I did not know that.
The ball's 2,688 crystals are cut with special designs.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Every year, 192 of the New Year's Eve ball's 2,688 triangular crystal panels are replaced. This is because each year the House of Waterford Crystals creates a special design that symbolizes a theme of global aspiration whose value is universally treasured.
So I did not know it was made out of crystal.
Oh, man.
Wow, that is remarkable.
Now, I don't know if I knew that or not, but we talked about it yesterday, Katrina and I, when we were looking at the ball itself and kind of came across it organically. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that either, though.
That's very cool.
The tradition began back in 2014 and will continue to into 2023. The first theme was Gift of Imagination, which featured a design of incarnate wedge cuts that created a kaleidoscope effect.
Hmm.
The 2023 theme is the Gift of Love. The new design features a circle of overlapping and intertwining hearts.
Aww.
Oh, cool.
That's cool. Which you'll never see unless you're up close, of course.
Yeah,
but still, that's very neat.
The ball drop has maritime roots.
Really?
Hmm.
The aforementioned New York Times electrician got the idea of the New Year's Eve ball drop after seeing Western Union's own metallic time ball drop from a spire atop the nearby building.
Hmm.
Unlike the Times Square ball, Western Union's wasn't just for show. Rather, the ball was dropped every day at noon so that pedestrians and ship captains could synchronize their clocks and watches.
Really?
Oh. God, I love stuff like this.
Is that cool?
Yeah, that's fascinating.
Wow.
I know that now we're spoiled and we know what time it is every second. Mm-hmm. You know, we can look at our watch,
our
look at our phone.
Automatically update.
Yep.
Some of this stuff I miss, though. Some of this stuff, I don't miss it because I wasn't alive.
No,
for
of
it.
Course. But
I think it would have been kind of cool to have. Imagine there was, like, we have something, not the same thing at all, but kind of. Every Wednesday when it's noon here in Rapids, because the sirens go off and everything. Obviously, they do that for tornado warnings, to test them for tornado warnings. But I don't know. There's something kind of charming to me about that.
That's very cool, though. Yes.
The whole concept of a time ball dates back to as early as 1833, when the first one was built on top of England's Royal Observatory.
Which makes sense, because the best way to keep track of time is to look at the sun. It will tell you what time it is.
Nice. There were no ball drops in 1942 or 43.
for obvious reasons.
Yes. During these years, the New Year's Eve ceremony was suspended as part of wartime dime-out of New York City's lights.
Mm-hmm.
These
yes.
dime-outs were done to protect the city from Axis bombings.
Mm-hmm.
Just an incredibly interesting and tense time.
Yes, indeed.
And there have been 7 different New Year's Eve balls.
7 different, all total. Okay, cool.
The Times Square ball has changed drastically since 1907 debut. The original ball was just 700 pounds and had a 5-foot diameter and was covered in 125-watt light bulbs. It was constructed out of iron and wood.
Okay.
In 1920, a new ball made entirely out of wrought iron replaced the original.
Okay.
A lightweight version was made of aluminum came in 1955. And was used through the 1980s.
Wow, okay.
I bet the people who had to work on that appreciated the upgrade.
Bet you they did.
Yeah. So that was the one that all of us saw when we were growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And when the ball was decked out in the red bulbs and given a green stem to look like an apple. a few more different balls were used throughout the 1990s and early 2000s. The current ball was first used in 2009. Today, the ball weighs 11,875 pounds, has a 12-foot diameter, is covered in 2,688 Waterford crystals, and is lit up by Philips Luxian LED lights. What is it, a Super Bowl ring? What is it?
I was going to say. You know, Waterford Crystal is considered like the best in the world, so that's pretty remarkable. I'm surprised someone hasn't tried to steal it yet. What are the market
the
is
next
for
great
the
heist. Ball?
Yeah.
This will be the next Hollywood movie.
Steal the ball
script.
Ooh, wait a minute.
It'll be written by James Maloff.
Yes, it will. I love a good heist movie. And I think
this could be a good
That would be a challenge to come up with a way of doing that.
In a world where you have to steal the New York Times ball to sell it to save the world.
That'd be awesome.
For the first 87 years of Times Square New Year's Eve ball drop, the balls were actually lowered by hand.
Wow.
For the first 87 years, they were lowered by hand. Had no idea of that.
Wow.
How lucky are they that never, there was no, whoa.
Let's go.
Oh my gosh.
Starts counting down really fast.
What do you think about this? Oh, in 1907, the first New Year's Eve ball was lowered by a team of 6 men using rope. According to Jeff Strauss in an interview with the New York Times, this system was actually used all the way up until 1995.
Wow.
Really?
A year before I graduated high school, they were still doing that.
Yeah.
That was when the ball drop was first computerized.
Okay.
In addition to controlling the dazzling light display on the ball, a computer controls the actual descent as well. What used to take a crew of 6 men is now accomplished with the push of a button. The ball drop is electronically timed with a laser cooling atomic clock in Boulder, Colorado.
Jeez.
Whoa. I feel like we're overthinking this.
Yeah.
I feel like,
they are on spot, man.
They want to be scientific about it.
Yeah.
It takes the ball 60 seconds to complete its 77-foot journey down the pole.
Wow. There you go.
It is interesting.
Fascinating information. My goodness.
Now I can't stop thinking about how I can steal it. Not actually, just for a script.
He's
just for
not
going to
actually steal
it. Not really going to do it. Why would I tell everybody if I was? Why would I? It's the worst criminal ever. So that ain't right story right there. New Year's Eve confetti contains wishes written by visitors. All that confetti you see.
Really?
Yeah, I think this is kind of cool.
Wow.
The confetti that rains down after midnight on New Year's Eve isn't just regular confetti. These colorful shreds actually have wishes for the coming year from visitors around the world written on them. People can write these wishes either via the virtual wishing wall on the Times Square Alliance website or by visiting the Times Square Plaza by December 29th and jotting down your wish to in person.
Huh.
Oh, cool.
That's
so
neat.
Today's the deadline, people.
That's
Never
right.
heard that. Never
yeah.
heard that before. And all of that confetti makes quite a mess, and cleaning it up is no easy feat.
Mm.
Roughly 3,000 pounds of confetti blanket the streets of Times Square every New Year's Eve ball drop. It takes a crew of more than 200 workers equipped with mechanical brooms, backpack blowers, collection trucks, old-fashioned brooms, and plenty more to be able to pull that off.
Yeah, makes sense.
Wow.
That's a big job.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool, though.
Yeah.
And our final one of the mysteries of the New York Times square ball. The NYC ball drop has inspired similar, sometimes bizarre, drops across the country. And there are some great ones, of course. For instance, Port Clinton, Ohio is home of the walleye drop. For more than 20 years in Port Clinton, the walleye capital of the world, a 20-foot long, 600-pound fiberglass walleye is dropped at midnight.
Oh, brother.
I love it.
There's also the moon pie drop in Alabama.
Ooh.
A guitar drop in Memphis.
Perfect.
And, of course, the Idaho potato drop in Boise. These are
drop
all great.
Drop that potato.
I will say, while it doesn't happen on New Year's, our pumpkin drops we have around here are celebrated as well. I don't want to brag or anything, but they're pretty popular.
I'm going to do a quick shout out in, I think it's in St. Paul or Minneapolis. They do a watermelon drop. No, they actually toss a watermelon over the side of a building.
Oh,
and,
interesting.
And I'm kind of trying to remember what building they do it from, but they just, throw a watermelon. Watch it explode on New Year's.
Really?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, they always have those sci-fi movies about computers and robots taking over and everything. I like the idea of the robots taking over by never letting us start a new year. They control the New Year's ball drop and everything.
How do we know it's a new year?
We don't know. It's forever 2022.
We forgot about the walleye drop. Dang it. The new year still started.
That's what saves us. The walleye drop is what saves us. I like that.
Like the potato drop, yes.
Yeah.
I think somewhere needs to have a mic drop.
Mic drop.
Nice. Las Vegas needs a mic drop.
I was going to say, like somewhere in Louisiana, but I guess Las Vegas will do.
I think that would make more sense.
Why don't we do it here?
Top of the building here?
Yeah. Just go over to the top, drop the mic. There we go.
Talk to Sage and Mike about that.
What could go wrong? We're going to go ahead and figure out what could go wrong during the commercial break. And then we'll come back with Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. Don't forget, a little bit later, Culver's Star of the Day featuring WFHR. All that coming up for you right here on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. It's time for Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. A new theme right there. Yeah. That was interesting.
Yeah.
I have never heard that before.
Selena Gomez.
Oh,
really?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I knew there was something I liked about it. Yeah. She is incredible. That girl is incredibly talented. Man, she is something. I have not heard her sing much.
Yeah.
That was her, huh?
That was her, yep.
Just as good as an actor as a singer, too. We are getting into Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. It is time to celebrate you, all of you out there, and it's time for you, when they open their doors again, to get on over to Misty's. Of course, we want to wish Misty's and a big thank you to them. Another great year with them, celebrating Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. So many of slices of Brian's pie delivered.
Ugh. Delicious.
So many happy listeners out there, and an opportunity for so many of our listeners out there around the world to be able to celebrate all of you. And we've really appreciated this opportunity from Misty's longtime partners.
Yes.
I don't even know how many decades, and it has been decades, that they have been a part of things here at WFHR.
Mm-hmm.
They are taking the week off and rightfully deserved.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very good call by them.
Mm-hmm.
Join them when they open their doors again next year. Visit them over at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids when they open their doors again.
Mm-hmm.
Let's dive right into the celebrating.
Okay.
And Seth, I need you to give me a 1 through 4.
Ooh, 4. I don't get to say that very much.
All right. There we go. That gives us our qualifier. So we can get right into that. And then I need a 1 through 3 from you, Melissa.
I'm going to say 2.
All right, that gives us our qualifier right there. Okay. And then we just got singles on the next couple of days, because we're not just celebrating Thursday, no. Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Lots of days.
And we have people's names on all of these.
Yes!
Yeah!
Woohoo! Big shout out to everybody out there. Just as a side note, we will draw for December winner on Monday the 2nd when we are back.
All right.
As a programming note, of course, we will not be on the air tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
We do have great civic media coverage for you. We'll have a lot of great alternative programming. You're going to enjoy your shows tomorrow, trust me. So we take a look at our list for today. Celebrating her sixth birthday, oh, Sophie DeWes.
Oh, happy birthday, Sophie.
Happy birthday, Sophie. Six is awesome.
Daughter of Ashley and Derek. Ashley and Derek, thank you so much for getting this to us. Yes. And happy sixth, Sophie.
Nah, that's awesome. Mm-hmm.
Very happy birthday to Jim Getzloff.
Happy birthday, Jim.
Happy birthday.
Jim, we hope you enjoy your day. Hope it's a good one for you. And we want to wish a happy birthday to Elizabeth Hanners.
Happy birthday, Elizabeth.
Happy birthday.
Great name.
Yeah, it is a good name, isn't it? Yeah.
It's my middle name, so I'm a little partial.
Oh, nice, nice. I've always loved the name Elizabeth. I've always loved that name. And yes, that's a friend of Laura's, your former roomie.
Yes.
Elizabeth's great. And we want to wish a very happy birthday to our qualifier today, Carol Mangi.
Carol, happy birthday.
Carol. Congratulations.
Uh-huh.
Enjoy your day, Carol. Hope it's a good one. Moving on to tomorrow, to Friday. Wishing a happy birthday to Bill Fuller.
Happy birthday, Bill.
Enjoy your day, Bill. And celebrating a 33rd anniversary, Les and Jean Elmer.
Oh, congratulations.
33.
Hope it's a great one.
Les and Jean.
Yeah.
Hope it's a great one for you guys. Looking also at the 30th, we have a qualifier celebrating their 22nd anniversary. Charles Brody and Carol One Row Brody, our friends at One Rose Greenhouse.
Oh, wonderful.
Congratulations.
Just how it worked out, everybody.
That's right.
This is how it worked out. A big shout out to our friends at One Rose Greenhouse, who we work with all the time.
We do.
Big, big fans of theirs. Big supporters, not only of the station, but a lot of our local businesses around here. Great people. Hope they're enjoying their winter.
Me too. Yeah.
And on New Year's Eve, I always thought it would be cool to have a birthday on New Year's Eve.
Yes.
I'm also the person that likes to hide my birthday. Yeah. So I noticed.
Not a good day to try to hide your birthday.
No, I don't know if that would have worked. Al Chapman celebrating a birthday. Happy birthday, Mr. Chapman.
Happy birthday, Mr. Chapman. I'm going to add one there because I do have a friend who has a birthday on the 31st, Mike Kent.
Nice.
My friend Mike, who I think I will be seeing actually on New Year's Eve, celebrating his birthday and celebrating the thing. So it'll be a lot of fun.
Very cool. Very cool.
You know, it's good to get together to celebrate the thing.
Yes.
And on January 1st, a couple of birthdays here. We have an honorable mention, our good friend, Mr. Greg Gack, former WFHR program director.
Wow.
Oh, happy birthday, Greg.
Happy birthday.
One of my favorite people I've worked with in radio. Mm-hmm. Greg, our longtime listeners out there remember Greg. Greg, very, very talented in radio. Very good on the air. Very good with his words. Could be grumpy at times. And I think that was part of Greg's charm. And I've had this conversation with Greg. I've talked many times with Greg about this over the years. When I first started in radio and I got this opportunity to work at, I started at GLX. Mm-hmm. And I got an opportunity to work at WFHR when they were, you know, partners. Mm-hmm. They were sister stations.
Right.
I get this copywriter job and I start doing Over the Back Fence. Christy Kay trained me and I feel very prepared and I'm enjoying the show. But what I'm not prepared for is talk radio. And for... that for quiet, for silence, for nobody calling in. I'm not prepared. I don't know what to do. The whole time I'm doing the show with Christy, there's nothing but calls. Her and I are talking and interacting.
Yeah, right.
I get on the air and I'm like, And I have, for the first time in my life, as my mother likes to say, Jimmy, rebel without a pause, a microphone, and an opportunity to speak my mind.
Oh, no.
And it went about as good as you could think it did. I said something about our current president at the time, and I compared him to a horrible person in history. Yeah. I did this as a comp, not saying he was like this person or is this person, just as a comparison, because he was censoring the media, and this is something this other horrible person in history had done.
Right.
It was as simple as that. It was an in-and-out conversation, or in-and-out sentence, and I get off I go to my commercial break. The second I hit my commercial break, the door flies open, and there's Greg. And didn't even say anything. Greg was a smoker, and, you know, as you know, during our air breaks, or during our commercial breaks, they're only like 2 or 3 minutes long.
Right.
Greg is out there, and I have never, to this day, seen somebody smoke a whole cigarette faster than he did. I'm not even sure where, if it ever left his mouth. I don't know how he was able to yell at me and smoke that cigarette at the same time. James, what are you doing? And in this, he gave me one of my greatest lessons in talk radio. But I had context, Greg. I didn't just say that sentence. Yep. I had context. I preempted. I talked about this. He's like, but what about the person who's just flipping through the station? And all they hear is when they flip on, me comparing this person to Hitler. Like, what? Like, and as soon as he said that, and I thought about it, and I thought about just that sentence just being out there on its own, I felt horrible. And as low as I have ever felt in entertainment. Greg also said, don't worry about it. It happens. Go out there, do your job, and do it better. And that's what I've been trying to do in every segment I've ever done the radio ever since.
Nice.
I'm so great thankful lesson. To Greg. Mm-hmm. I appreciate Greg, and I'm wishing him well in Columbus. Hope he's enjoying his life and everything. Yeah. I know he is. He joined us during our 80th celebration, our
that's
80th
right.
year celebration.
A couple years ago, yeah.
And we also want to wish a very happy birthday on Sunday to our qualifier, Billy Wilson.
Happy birthday, Billy.
Billy Wilson.
Billy Wilson.
Congratulations.
It sounds like a studio musician name.
It does.
Doesn't it? Like the great Billy Wilson.
I hope he plays a guitar.
Yes, absolutely. I got to find out. So I didn't want to take a ton of time on celebrities. I wanted to focus on our listeners and everything. We had such a big list. Happy birthday today to Allison Brie, Community, other great stuff. I like her. Great actor. Let's see here. Mary Tyler Moore would have been celebrating a birthday today. Oh. Born in 1936 in Brooklyn Heights, New York. Passed away in January 25th, 2017. You cannot talk about the history of TV or without Mary Tyler Moore.
Laura Petrie and then Mary Tyler Moore.
The great Jude Law, born on this day in 1972 in London, England. Incredible actor.
Yes.
Gosh. Yeah. You know, one of the things I like about Jude Law that I will always come back to, this is a guy, you look at his first break movie, you look at him now, he has worked at the craft. He continues to try to get better and better and better. You don't see a lot of actors at that level doing that. The great Ted Danson, born on this day in 1947 in San Diego, California.
Ted Danson, the actor I always like to point to, very smart in decisions of what roles he took, because he has taken very few roles that haven't been amazing. He's been just a smart actor.
Yeah, really has. That's a great point on his career.
He nailed it in The Good Place.
Yeah.
That was such a good show.
It's so interesting to me. For so many people, we think of Sam Malone, Mayday Malone, right away.
Yep.
Him and Dan Fielding, two of my favorite people in TV history as a kid growing up. And what he would become as an older man on, like, The Good Place, like Melissa mentioned, a show like that, or even that TV show he was doing for a while, The Mayor, Mr. Mayor or whatever.
Yep, and then there was Becker for a while. Yes, that was a hit show.
Becker, I almost forgot about Becker. Oh, my God. That was a sneaky good show.
That was
show.
A good that show, a, yeah.
Where he played a real jerk on that
he
show
did.
And everything.
He's run the gamut. He certainly has.
Yeah, I you're so right about that, the choices he has made.
Yep.
And I think it's also something noteworthy, kind of sticking with TV.
Yeah, he did.
You know, he's kind of stuck with TV, and I think that's really worked for him. Andrew Johnson, born on this day in 1808, passed away in 1875, our 17th president of these United States. Jane Levy, great actress, born on this day in 1989.
Yes.
I'm a big fan of hers. Great facial expressions. just talking about him as an actor. Politically, boy, you can get into a lot of trouble nowadays, even if you agree with him. He comes after people even that agree with him. John Voight, born on this day in 1938 in Yonkers, New York. Great actor.
For sure. Very good actor.
Very good actor. Let's see here. I got to admit, Diego Luna celebrating a birthday today, born in 1979 in Mexico. Diego Luna, great Mexican actor, singer, producer, Open Range, The Terminal. But, of course, many of us love him from Rogue One and the most recently Andor.
Oh, man.
How dang good was Andor?
Andor was so good.
Man, that was good.
And how do you get a name like Diego Luna? That's the coolest name ever, seriously.
I am such a, I love my family. I am a big, I love my family, my heritage, all those things. I would change my last name to Luna right now if the paperwork is in front of me. To be fair, I am a huge lover of the moon as
That's
well.
True. So yep, yep.
Patricia Clarkson, also born in this day in 1959 in New Orleans, Louisiana. Maybe not a household name, but she should be. I love her work.
Great character actor, yep.
Yes, every time you've seen her, she has made you believe that character.
Yep.
And I think that was the end of my list. Miles Garrett celebrating a birthday. Mekhi Phifer, born its day in 1974. Another good one right there.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, that's going to about do it for our list
okay.
today. So, again, everybody celebrating a birthday or anniversary out there today, tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday, we wish you a great one. Enjoy. And I would say, you know, when Misty's opens back up in the new year, head on over to
Head
Misty's.
On over there.
Head
yeah.
on
oh,
over
yeah.
there.
They will honor your birthday.
And be listening this Monday, January 2nd, when we come back with live entertainment for you. We'll be announcing the winner of Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club.
Woohoo!
Coming up after Melissa's news, we are going to get to Culver's Star of the Day featuring WFHR.
Hey.
Coming up right here on The Morning Show at WFHR. Lights, camera, action. It is time for WFHR Star of the Day featuring Culver's. And a gigantic shout out to our friends at the Culver's of Wisconsin Rapids for a year of this. And we've been doing this 4 years with them. It's a lot of fun. We've been able to do this every Friday with our friends out there. Of course, this is a Thursday one.
Right.
We've been having fun with it where we give you a chance to win two Conquering Mixers, two value baskets from our great friends at the Wisconsin Rapids Culver's. And all you got to do is name a theme song or name a quote from a movie or any of these fun things. And, you know, as somebody who loves independent films and all that, I can make this so difficult. And I don't want to. I have no interest in that. And talking with our friends at Culver's, they completely agreed with me. They're like, yeah, have fun with it.
Yeah.
We're not trying to stump the audience here. We're trying to get them some free food.
That's right.
But we do got to make it a little bit of a challenge. And so this one today, I wouldn't call it necessarily a challenge, but it may be a bit of a thinker. It may take you a moment.
Oh,
so
okay.
What we're going to do, we'll do something kind of special for this one. I will take either the name of this song or what I would prefer is the movie it was a theme song for. So that's what we're looking for here is the what movie this is a theme song to.
Okay.
But you can also tell me if you if you don't know, you can also tell me the name of the movie. Okay.
All right. Sounds good.
Fair enough.
So we'll go ahead and go right there. And here it is. Here's your song for the Star of the Day. (424) 2600 Call up and let us know. Oh, you know this one. Yeah, you know this one. I thought you did. All right, let's go ahead and see if we have ourselves a winner here. Good morning. What's your answer?
Is the name of the song The Entertainer?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
You happen to know what movie it's from?
Was that from The Hustler?
Ooh, good guess. Really good guess. Got one of the actors from it.
Yep.
And a sneaky, great movie. One of my maybe my favorite Jackie Gleason movie. Jackie Gleason, Paul Newman, The Hustler. Later on, you would have the movie The Color of Money with Tom Cruise and Paul Newman. Sneaky, good movies. But this is actually from another Paul Newman movie, The Sting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Paul Newman had something to do with it, right? Yeah.
You got it right. You're pretty close there. The Sting was released on Christmas. It came out on Christmas.
Okay, cool.
And I don't have the stat. I don't know where it went here. Oh, here it is. In 1973, The Sting, directed by George Roy Hill, starring Paul Newman and the great Robert Redford, with music inspired by Scott Joplin, premiered in Los Angeles and New York, and it would go on to win Best Picture in 1974.
Mm-hmm.
So that is why we're playing it today. Who do we have on the phone with this? Can I get your first name, sir?
Gary,
all right. Gary, and you felt pretty good about that. You knew the name of the song at least right away, right?
Oh, yeah.
Gary, what town are you calling us from?
Wisconsin Rapids.
All right. Gary, we appreciate you listening, playing along, and being our final star of the day of 2022.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Hang on the line, Gary. Going to get a little information from you. We sure appreciate the time, Gary. You take care and have a great New Year's.
All right. Thank you. You guys as well.
Thank you, Gary.
Appreciate it.
Melissa, do you know this one?
Well, I couldn't hear it.
I thought so.
That's, I actually... I actually know how to play a little bit of The Entertainer on piano.
Oh, you do? Oh, cool. Mm-hmm.
So as a musician, I figure, okay, this might have been one of the earlier songs her, I know I learned. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't sure. But I also was double checking to see if Melissa could hear it or not. I was afraid you weren't able to. Right?
No, unfortunately. Nope. And then if she spoke, she would have just hurt herself. So, yeah.
Look, ultimate team player right here, though, right? You know, come on. Yeah. Thank you, Mel. Yeah. We appreciate that.
No problem.
We'll go ahead and take a quick commercial break. We'll talk Blake. What was that?
Commercial Blake.
I don't know what that
it's
was.
It's a new thing.
Can we fix that in post? Oh, it's live.
Yes.
It's live. It's live.
I'll fix it.
We're just
going
to make up words like Santos. It's okay.
Yeah. We will take a break. Talk to Gary. We'll come back and have some more fun to wrap up the hour on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back to The Morning Show here on WFHR, locally grown radio. Got Melissa, Seth, and James here with you at 8:49 on the clock. Keep in mind, in the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to kick things off with announcing the winner of Quality Foods New Year's Eve basket giveaway.
That's right.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah. Woohoo.
We'll announce the winner of that. We're also going to kick, after that, we are going to get into what went right in 2022.
Very cool.
Continue that conversation.
Positive news, yes.
Looking forward to it. Real quickly, before we get into our next topic, though, I did want to send a big thank you. Here at 97.5 WFHR, we want to say a thank you again to our wonderful sponsors for the great Home for the Holidays for Seniors that we did.
Holidays for Seniors,
the
yes.
The Holidays for Seniors that we did. A big thank you to the Trading Post, Ritchie Funeral Home, Edgewater Haven, and Evan Brook Nursing. Just really great time. The seniors that were visited by Santa wanted to say a huge thank you to all the area elementary kids. Mm. You truly made their holiday a happy holiday for everyone.
Yes.
Thank you so much to everybody for this one.
We got to see the number of cards and letters the kids came up with. It was great. Just a whole bunch.
Our back office was just packed with stuff.
Yep.
It was so cool to see. Mm-hmm. You couldn't look at something like that and not be warmed by it.
Yeah.
Big thank you to our newest team member, Ashley.
Yep.
Did a really nice, a really good job with this.
Sure did.
And has been just hit the ground running with this job. Ashley's been doing great. She's been jumping in on the air with us a little bit here and there and everything. We've really enjoyed getting to know her and her working here and everything.
Yeah.
Great new team member. Nice job, Ash. And a big thank you again to the, I love the Trading Post, so I have no problem mentioning them again. Trading,
it's a fun story.
It really is. It's a great place.
Mm-hmm.
Trading Post, our good friends at Ritchie Funeral Home, the wonderful people at Edgewater Haven, and of course, the good people at Eben Brook Nursing. Thank you again for helping us make Home for the Holidays for Seniors a successful one. I'm looking forward to doing this again.
Mm-hmm. Let's do it.
Yeah, I hope we can do this again next year.
Make it that'd even be, bigger.
That'd be a lot of fun. local good story here. We go to Mason, Wisconsin for this one. I'm not 100% sure where Mason is.
Not off the top of my head.
I feel like I know where it is, and then I feel like I don't. I feel like I'm gonna say over east a little bit, up east a little. But
well, as we're going through the story, let's see if I can figure it out here. Maybe Melissa will be faster than me.
Yeah.
Yep. Way up north.
Oh, okay.
It is way up north.
All right.
Yep, way up by Ashland.
So I have been to Mason then. That is where I'm thinking about.
All right.
I have been to Mason before. It's a wonderful area.
Mm-hmm.
Not very far from Duluth.
And beautiful. It's beautiful up there. But
the south shore of Lake Superior is gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The more north you go, not to say it's not beautiful in any part of this state, but really, the more north you go, it really is like that.
Yeah.
You guys friends? Are you guys fans of Guy Fieri?
I am.
Yeah, yeah. Melissa, are you familiar with him? Are you a fan of his?
I got to look him up, but I think I know who that is. It's a chef?
Spiky hair and sunglasses.
Yep.
Yeah. He's all right. His voice is a little annoying. Because he yells in all of his videos.
Yeah, yeah. When I was living in California with my buddy Will, him and I roommates and everything, Will, huge on the Food Network. And one of his favorite shows of all time is Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
It's a great show.
Mm-hmm. I watched a ton of those with him. And I got to say, I like Guy Fieri.
Me too.
I'm not huge on a lot of the celebrity chefs and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But what I like about him, not so much, his personality is cool. He really knows what he's talking about.
Oh, yes,
food.
He does.
He does not like phone it in. But what he has done for local small restaurants with that show cannot be undersold.
No.
It's incredible what he's done. Every time he visits one of those places, boom, do they blow up. And that's one more small business that is surviving, and especially in the last couple of years. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, known for that spiky hair and sunglasses, the mayor of Flavortown is spilling his secrets about the best restaurant in Wisconsin.
Ooh.
Mashed, which is a multi-platform publication for those who love to eat and cook, rounded up all the locations featured on Guy Fieri's show, Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, to come up with a list of the top diner, drive-in, or dive in every state.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
For Wisconsin, Delta Diner in Mason, Bayfield County, is Guy Fieri's favorite restaurant.
All right.
In Wisconsin, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Located at 14385 CTH in Delta Diner. The Delta Diner is everything you'd imagine at a classic roadside diner.
Nice.
Delta Diner, from the retro sign out front to the long row of stools at the counter, Guy Fieri raves about the full menu of biscuits, pancakes, burgers, and shakes.
Mm.
During his trip to the diner, Fieri reportedly ordered the homemade biscuits with red eye gravy and called it Crazy Town, which is right next to Flavor Town.
He's got language all his own, too, by the way.
He kind of does. Yeah, he kind of does. That's not bad, actually. I don't mind that. Delta Diner is temporarily closed right now as the business is only operates during the spring and summer months.
Makes sense from where they are, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Those interested in visiting should keep an eye out about on the diner's Facebook page. Just type into your search bar, mm-hmm. Delta Diner, and the website's 2023 operating hours.
Mm-hmm.
You guys, this is the diner that's for sale. This is the one I told Seth to buy.
Is it really?
This is the diner?
I thought for sure it was, and I'm like, no way. No way it can be.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It absolutely is.
But now I can't buy it now because it's got such a great, it's got all this great food. I don't know if I could replicate the food. That's the thing. If it's such a great diner, what do I do? So now I can't. Bummer.
Not to be
that's
Jimmy.
That's the reason.
Not to be Jimmy serious here or anything, but that is my wheelhouse. That just brings this story all the more home of how important it is to keep these businesses alive.
I agree.
You've got
100%.
You got a celebrated restaurant here that's for sale. Like, how many businesses do that?
Yeah.
You
know,
well,
you do it when you have to.
Yeah.
You do it when you're forced to.
Exactly.
Sorry,
well,
Melissa.
They've been open for 20 years, the owners that own it. So they decide the reason they're selling is because they think it's time for someone to take over. Now that it's got Guy Fieri saying this is the awesomest restaurant, people who aren't scared, like Seth, should. I'm teasing you.
I know.
You're obviously not going to buy a restaurant in northern Wisconsin, but it's a diner.
Not on radio money.
it's actually like that old-timey looking train car diner.
Oh, love those.
Yeah.
I love those. Yes, those are so cool.
I am, as soon as they open their doors in the spring, I'm heading there.
James is going right. He's going north.
Going right there. Staying steadfast is the honest approach has allowed us to grow, developing great relationships with our like-minded customers and enjoying a good day's work every day. Said officials at Delta Diner's website. We look forward to sharing this experience with all who choose to make the journey to our little diner.
Mm-hmm.
Aww, that's awesome.
That's awesome.
That's pretty cool. And again, a shout out to Guy for not only covering this, but you know, just the great work that he does on that show. I think he does some really good stuff on there.
Is that the actual diner there, James? Did you pull up a picture there?
Yeah, I was just pulling
up
the show.
Oh, that is so awesome!
It is.
Isn't it cute?
Yes.
It's everything you want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
There just aren't enough places like that anymore.
I agree, 100%, man.
I love the food from those places.
Me too.
You're hard pressed to find a better burger than those spots usually.
Any of that stuff, man. Diner food is the best.
It's good stuff. good stuff. Getting into another good one right here. I just wanted to pepper us with good stories of the day today.
All right.
So here's another. Comes to us from the Associated Press. You can go to apnews.com to find the complete article. This happened on December 27th. A Wisconsin waitress got a Christmas morning surprise from a customer. $1,000 tip.
Whoa.
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 Callie Blue. Oh, God, is that a good name? Callie Blue. That's a real name. was waiting tables at Gus's Diner in Sun Prairie, just outside of Madison, at 6 a.m. on Sunday when she started chatting with one of the few customers in the restaurant at that hour, the Wisconsin State General reported. and he left her a $1,000 tip.
Wow.
The customer was Michael Johnson, president and CEO of the Boys and Girls Club of Dane County.
Wow.
He told the newspaper he was looking for people in need as part of the club's Pay It Forward campaign. Hmm. Two donors had given about $5,000 for tip money.
Wow.
He said his Christmas Day schedule was booked with families he planned to help starting at 7:30, so he searched the internet for restaurants open at 6 a.m. and learned about Gus's Diner. He also had gotten an email about Blue and wanted to measure her customer service skills and demeanor. He was impressed enough to pull $1,000 from the $5,000 tip money. He said about 12 servers got big tips, but Blue's was the biggest one because it was Christmas morning and she was the last recipient.
Oh, what a great story.
Blue called the tip amazing and said she will use it to help feed her four horses.
Oh, wow.
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 Story got even cooler. Well,
that
then,
was interesting.
Didn't it? Yeah. Not only
twist.
Not only a really great name, but what a great person. And a really great person here, not to be outdone, Mr. Johnson there.
I was going to say, that is a really cool idea of giving out tips to people, the big tips. That's really neat.
I like that.
Yeah.
That was very cool.
Exactly. Absolutely.
We're going to wrap up the hour, guys. We got one more hour of the morning show of 2022, and it's going to be a big one. It's going to be a fun one. Be sure to join us for it, everybody. It's coming up right here on the morning show at WFHR.